Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Jim down at Augusta National for the Masters all week. And, well, we're well into day two. They completed the first round in the morning. That didn't turn out to be too bad a situation. They were able to get guys out and finish their second round and kind of stay on time today. I'm sure the players are happy about that.
Yeah, they're back on schedule now. They were able to start the second round in time, and it's beautiful out here today. It's going to be beautiful all weekend. And if you're a golfer, you're dealing with some high, gusty winds that make this very challenging. We're seeing people not scoring very well. Mm. Homa, we're talking here early in the afternoon. By the time people hear this, there might be different results. But
sure.
Homa started had a great first round. He started the second round, went two under on the in his first four holes, and then it's been all par since then. Nobody's really making a move at this moment. DeChambeau's one over par on the day because the wind is blowing like crazy out there. It really kicked up, you know, a handful of holes into the start of the round. I think we're looking at high winds that will not only make judging shots very difficult, but will also dry out the greens. I think we're looking at some fast greens for the rest of the tournament. I don't think you're going to see any really low scores. It's going to be a grinder of a tournament from here on out.
I was listening to some Golf Channel radio this morning, and they had one of their golf analysts, and I can't remember his name, but he had played the Masters, and he talked about, he compared the wind coming through the pines there as to kind of a jetty effect behind a boat, that things can shift and the wind can get turned around inside those tall pines while it's shifting all the time down where the players are hitting the ball. It's calm above the trees. So he said you have to take both into effect. Not calm, but straight line winds out of a predictable direction above the trees, but not below. It's complicated.
It is, and you know these guys are so good. If they're playing in a heavy wind and they know exactly where the wind's coming from, mm-hmm. they can usually manage it pretty well. The problem is you just don't know. Tiger has talked about this a million times, and Jack has talked about it a million times. You know, you have to know like which tree to look at. That's where course experience, that's why Tiger can get around this course even when it's a limp and not being able to hit the ball as far, because he just understands the course so much. That's why you don't see first-time winners here. Wow, I'm looking out on the driving range now, and the wind, you're seeing like eddies, you're seeing dust swirl.
Wow. Yep.
That's why the 12th hole is so fascinating. It's a short par four. You know, if you look at it on a scorecard, you say that's got to be the easiest hole in the course. It's 140, 150 yards. You know, for these players, it's sometimes a wedge, not a tiny green. It's well away from the water. But if the wind catches your ball and hits it with an unexpected gust, you go from being, you know, having the perfect club to having the ball get wet, or having be in the pine straw or even the woods behind, and it can. Win or lose the hole right there. And you know, I was following Van Rooyen yesterday. He had a really good shot to hit a wedge close on 15. Wind caught the ball, spun back more than he expected. All of a sudden he's has to scramble to make a six instead of having a putt at a four. I mean, that changes the outcome of these tournaments.
Boy, it does. I was watching Scottie Scheffler in his post-round press conference, and on 12, he wound up in the back bunker. And he said, I hit a really good shot on 12, but the wind came up and shoved it long.
Yeah, it is a deciding factor, what it does and how players handle it. We've seen 12 decide so many tournaments. Spieth was leading at that, you know, early in his career. It looked like he was going to just win the Masters every year. He gets a 12, and he had a ball that rolls back into the creek, and then all of a sudden he's chunking a wedge, and all of a sudden he's out of the tournament. These greens, and I don't know if it comes across as much on TV as it does in person, but like the 15th green, it's slippery as heck.
Yeah.
And if you hit to the front of that green with any spin on it, it's going to pull right back in the water. And so, you know, wind affects how far the ball travels, as far as how it affects how it lands, how it spins. And there's an obvious punishment waiting for you if you just misjudge a little bit, or if the wind just surprises you. I mean, that's what the players talk about, is say you can make great swing, the perfect swing under the conditions as far as you know, and a gust of wind can just take your ball anywhere it wants.
As we're speaking, it looks like the cut line is at about +3. Jim and I are talking here about 20 minutes until 1. That certainly could be different. Probably will. Would you anticipate that cut line might go up by the time we get to the end of the day?
Yeah, I would think it's going to be. Last time I looked, it was a two, but okay. It might be a three by the time we started talking. I could see the cut staying at three, maybe going to four, which, you know, indicates how difficult the course is right now. And it might be a favor to Scheffler, just because he can grind through like few people can. Mm-hmm. And it might help Tiger make the cut, because last time I looked, I think he was one over, and he's on the back nine. If he can survive the rest of the back nine or making a birdie on a couple of par fives, he might be in really good shape.
Pretty impressive feat just to make the cut.
Yes.
For him, I mean, he has no flexibility in his right ankle at all. You can see when he's walking out there, man, if he makes the cut with as little competitive golf as he's played over the last 10 years, pretty impressive.
I would say that Tiger making the cut would be even more impressive than Scheffler winning the Masters. But Scheffler's set up to win. You know, not that golf is ever easy, or that it's like picking Vikings versus Packer and you have 50. I mean, you know, every golfer's a long shot in a major. But Scheffler is set up to win this. He has the game to win it. He's completely healthy. He's won here before. Tiger should not be playing here.
Right.
Tiger has played one tournament this year. He's limping around the course. He's having trouble getting in and out of bunkers, and he's hanging in there. And I followed him this morning. It's just remarkable to see.
Yeah. And the one tournament he played, he withdrew because he got the flu. I'm sure that
right.
was ill-timed for him there. So who's going to hang on? Who's wearing the green jacket on Sunday night?
If Scheffler putts, he wins.
Yep.
It's that simple.
Yep.
Homa is playing great. And Homa has what people think is a championship caliber, you know, major championship caliber set of assets.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing that off right now. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Scheffler win it and Homa be in the top 10. Connors is making a move right now. He's got a really nice game. But I also think the leaderboard will change dramatically. I don't know that it's going to change in terms of Scheffler and Homa. I could see any of the other 8 to 10 people up near the top. I could see that being constant change throughout the weekend, depending on who plays with the stronger winds and who has better conditions.
I'd love to see Homa get there. He's such a fun guy to follow on social media, and he has not performed well in majors, so it would really be a breakthrough for him.
Yes, and you know he's been pretty open about the fact that, you know, he's lacked confidence at different times in his career, wasn't sure he was good enough to be on the tour. It's that lack of that ability to second guess himself seems to have hurt him in majors before, and he seems like he's figured out the formula. He's playing great right now.
Yeah. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah met with the media a little bit yesterday, and, you know, everybody asking him, are you going to trade up and take a quarterback? And he said, we have a walk-away price. That's good to hear that they aren't going to just, whatever somebody wants, they're going to fork it over for a QB.
Yeah, and as I keep pointing out, they wouldn't have traded for the second or first round pick unless they intended to use it to move up.
Yep.
But you've got their internal evaluation is what matters here, and they're not going to tell us what it is. If you're going to basically give up three high draft picks to get, say, McCarthy, he better be a lot better than the guy you could have gotten at 11 or 23, which would be Penix or Nix. And he might be. Mm-hmm. And if you get the right quarterback, you're never going to regret the price you paid.
Yeah.
But if you get a pretty good quarterback, and you could have gotten another pretty good quarterback without giving up all his assets, that's something that will be second-guessed for the rest of his career.
Yeah, that's what they'll be biting on. And if it doesn't work out, they both know that it's their jobs on the line. So nobody has more to risk than Kwesi and KOC here.
No doubt. And I think Kwesi has more risk.
Yep.
Because I think O'Connell has shown he can run a team and run an offense.
Mm-hmm.
Kwesi has not shown he can draft well.
Yep.
And if he has a third bad draft in a row and misses on a quarterback, I don't know how they would keep him around.
Yeah. Let's see. Two games tonight. Does it matter if the Wolves hang on and be the two or the three? Okay, it looks like Denver's going to get the one. Does two or three matter?
It's funny. Some players are saying that they'd rather be the three than the two.
Mm.
Not that they are going to play to lose or anything, but if they ended up with the three, they said the advantage of being a three is you know who the six seed is, and you can spend the next 5-6 days game planning for that. If you're one or two, then you're going to have to watch the play-in, and you can't really start your preparation, or you have to prepare for four different teams. So there might be an advantage to being number three. Certainly, we know what the advantage to being number one is.
Yep.
I don't know if there's really a plum that comes along with being number two.
Yeah. I've heard this advanced some places because sometimes teams can jockey around because they like better matchups or whatever. I don't know if that goes on or not. But I heard that top four, and it's pick your opponent. Have you ever thought that that would ever work in the league?
Say that one more time. Pick your opponent. Top four seed, you get pick your opponent.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I think that'd be kind of fun. It would also put a lot of pressure on the team to pick the right. And the great thing about it is you have a first round in which the lower seeded teams would know that they got picked because the other team thought they could beat them.
Right.
And it would add a little, I think it would add a little juice.
I do too. I'd kind of like to see that happen. There's too many teams that feels like kind of jockey around with their positioning. They're like a matchup better if they're a lower seed. I don't like to see that. I want to see everybody play as hard as they can right to the end.
Agreed. And I do think the Wolves have done that. I think that one of the things I like about this team is they don't take games off. They don't rest their stars. They don't ever play to lose, which I think is admirable. Yep. But, you know, there's some teams that do.
Yep, they do. Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Live at 5 Sports at Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.